means. And
services too? Nope.
Hey, Marihuanera, special announcement. Have you ever laid awake at night hoping, dreaming, praying that one day you might have the opportunity to party with me live and in person? Well, if that sounds like you, your opportunity is right around the corner because March 13th at Resident Downtown LA, Locatora Live, a podcast party, is back. Celebrate the 5-year locaversary of Locatora Radio with Las Mamis of Myth and Bullshit, Diosa, my co-producer, and moi. Locatora Live includes an all-star lineup of special guests, including stand-up by Marcela Arguello, live music by Chris Soul, tunes by DJ Sizzle and DJ Zuri, with host Laura Tejeda of LA Taco. Get your tickets at residentdtla.com. Why get tickets? Because Diosa and I are both way hotter in person.
Each year losing...
Hello and welcome to Malas Noticias, where our news is muy, muy mala. This just in, local chickens are crossing roads at alarming and heretofore unprecedented rates, causing havoc, mayhem, and general uneasiness among the motorists of Los Angeles. We've got Paula Dos Poyos, local chicken, here in studio for an exclusive interview. Paula, welcome to Malas Noticias, where our news is muy, muy mala. What do you think is causing the recent uptick in avian jaywalking? Well, you see, I am but one of many hens absolutely horrified by the state of the sidewalks here in LA. I lay a batch of fresh eggs at least twice a week, and with the conditions of these sidewalks, there's no way I can push my stroller of eggs without my skinny little chicken legs tripping and falling over trash, tree roots, and old furniture. Gotta walk in the streets so I can get to the farmer's market and sell these eggs. How else am I supposed to keep the lights on at the coop? Riveting as plug. Paula Dos Poyos, local chicken, thank you once again for joining us today. I'd fry your eggs anytime. In other local news, self-identified marihuanera Mala Munoz is getting ready to conclude the inaugural season of her hilarious cannabis podcast, Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads. Smokers everywhere are devastated that the critically acclaimed, adored, some might even say revered indie podcast is coming to a temporary pause. But before you go boo-hoo-hooing all over your blunt, it's time to light up and tune in to episode 15 of Marihuanera coming up next. This has been another installation of Malas Noticias, where our news is muy plucking mala.
She's a depressed 20-something with a college degree, who copes with life by smoking too much weed, dodging cochinos as she rolls down the street.
Oye, mami, I wanna be your dog.
Aim higher, pendejo.
She's la marihuanera, as seen on IG.
That's me.
Mari, 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 marihuanera.
I want to just let you know that I am a major, major, major marihuanera. I'm talking about smoking before work, during my breaks, after work, everything, you name it. But the fun ways that I really like to get high is smoking out of my bong. I honestly love that thing. I love her. Or just smoking the joint on the beach. That's honestly my favorite thing to do after I get off of work. I go down to the beach and I watch the sunset. I bring a blanket, some snacks for when the munchies hit, and I'll just smoke by myself. I'll put on a podcast, and I'll just vibe. I really enjoy the quality time I have with myself, and it's a really good time for me to do a lot of self-reflection and just, like, everything that's going on in my life. And, yeah, so I love you. I love the podcast, and I hope you guys all have a great day, and happy smoke sesh.
Thank you. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome back to Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads brought to you by Locatora Productions. I am your most punctual and chaste hostess, Mala Munoz, here to say hello and welcome back to another episode of my cute little cannabis show, Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads. As you know, I have been recording and putting out episodes. This is episode 15, and this is the season finale of season one of the podcast. Thank you for tuning in. If you have not listened to all 15 episodes, this is a gentle reminder to hurry the fuck up and do so and start from episode one. Start from the trailer, because I put my blood, my sweat, my tears, and all of my weed into this show. I worked my little nubby fingers down to the bone to bring you this high quality weed content. So go appreciate it, goddammit! You won't regret it. It's a real fun. I am currently sitting in my apartment in the dark by myself smoking a strong sativa. I am overly caffeinated. I just ate unos tacos de asada y frijol con aguacate and leftover salsa verde from the taquero down the street. Bitch, I'm thriving. My sleep schedule is off AF, but that doesn't matter because I've been chasing my dreams during the day, so it's okay. This is the season finale of season one. It's been a wild ride. It's been so fun. Already, the podcast has gotten so much love. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you all who have sent in voice memos, like the young lass who checked in earlier. Jackie, thank you. Stuart, the episode before. You can go to locatoraradio.com, sign up for our newsletter, Besitos, and leave us a voice memo. It just might get played on a future episode of Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads. I want to hear from you guys. You guys are so funny and creative. What do you guys like to do when you're smoking? What do you do when you're listening to this podcast? What are you smoking when you're listening to this podcast? I want to know. I'm a chismosa. I'm nosy. Tell me everything. Give me all the detail. So this is the season finale of season one. And to commemorate, to celebrate, I'm going to be talking to you guys about all of the reality TV season finales that I have been watching while smoking weed. I got high and watched primarily the three-part reunion for the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Of course, this is season two. These reunions were a whirlwind, to say the least. I put myself to sleep three nights in a row to the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. So basically, I have done irreversible damage to not only my REM cycle, but probably to my brain. I will be sharing that with you this episode. I did it so you don't have to. Next, I will be reviewing the Darcy and Stacey Twins Tell All Parts 1 and 2. Equally mind-melting, riveting, entertaining, upsetting, awe-inspiring. Finally, the cherry atop this really chaotic, dysfunctional banana split, the Love is Blind finale, the reunion. Yes, I have thoughts and ideas about Shake, about Deep D, hashtag Team Deeps. Sal, Mal, aka Malvador. And yes, Kyle and his nose ring. I'm here for all of it. And I hope you guys have caught up with all of those reunions so that you can fill in your own blanks and provide your own commentary. I want to hear from you. What are your hot takes? What are your tokes in relation to these shows and their finales? If you hear tons of noise in the background, Papas is here, my dog, and he's just chewing away at whatever it is he's chewing on. He's in the other room. I can't see him, but I can hear him. So hopefully he's not destroying anything of too much value.
Who am I kidding? I don't own anything of value. It's like, is that even a thing?
Okay. Also, correction. Housewives of Salt Lake City, 2-part reunion, 2 nights of ruining my REM cycle. I don't know where I got the number 3 from a different reality TV reunion show. And I don't remember which one it was. Was it 90 Day Fiancé? Single Life? Might have been. I also have been watching, you know, they do the sort of after party episodes for Married at First Sight. So I've been watching hashtag MAFS. So I was watching that too. So much reality TV, so little time. If you've ever wondered what I'm doing when I'm not like performing like essential like human tasks and working and recording, I'm watching reality TV. Like, you can like bet your bottom dollar that every other activity and like obligation and appointment, engagement aside, I'm watching reality TV. That's true. That's a fact. So, moving on. I went to Utah. And this was my first out-of-state trip since spring of 2020, since the pandemic began. And it was fucking dope. It felt nice to get out of California. Love California. Fave state, TBH. But it's good to get out, you know? And so I hitched a ride with Diosa because she and 2 other runner friends signed up for the Zion Half Marathon. So we were marathon groupies. And we went out and we watched their race and we cheered them on and we captured content. And there was rain and snow. And Diosa set a PR and I'm so proud of her. I was like on the verge of tears at the finish line. I was so proud of her. I wanted to cry. But I didn't. But I almost did. But I didn't. I like kept it together, barely. So that was real fun. The runners are known also as the Hoka Hotties. Shout out Hoka. Give those baddies a shoe sponsorship because they looked so cute in your shoes, for all. So yeah, during the pandemic, you know, Diosa's been running, I've been roller skating. And fun fact, Diosa and I, like, we each ran cross country in high school. I only ran cross country for like a couple years and then I like transitioned to theater and stuff, but we were definitely at the same cross country meets and didn't even realize it. So Diosa has picked up running again, fucking killing it. And for those who don't know, who maybe are listeners to Marihuaneta but maybe are not listeners to the first podcast I was ever on, Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is the podcast that I co-produce and co-host with Diosa. A little background, Diosa and me, we founded Locatora Radio back in 2016, indie recording at Espacio 1839, in Mariachi Plaza in Boyle Heights. I was operating our soundboard. Diosa was editing our audio. We were putting out episodes on SoundCloud and then on Apple Podcasts and then on Spotify. And after a while, we started getting like more and more listeners. And our listeners like at universities who were students, mostly Latinas, were like reaching out and flying us out to their campuses. So we were like doing the university circuit and doing speaking engagements and live podcasts. Eventually we were like nominated for a Tekla Award. We got write-ups in Forbes. We got a write-up in the LA Times. Shout out Stephanie Mendez, amazing Latina journalist and producer at Good Morning America, who actually wrote an amazing profile for us in the LA Times. And another fun fact,
our article was like on the front page of the calendar section in the LA Times, and there was a Quibi article next to our article, and our article was way, 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 way longer. And then there was an article like about Kim Cattrall, like adjacent to our article. And not only was our write-up longer than Kim Cattrall's, but our photos were like way bigger than Kim Cattrall's. Like the LA Times spent way much more like ink and like print space on us than both Quibi and Kim Cattrall combined. I'm just saying, I'm just pointing it out. So last summer, summer of 2021, Diosa and I launched Locatora Productions, LLC. That is our podcast production house. And it is under the Locatora Productions umbrella that I created Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads, which you are all obviously enjoying right here, right now. Last year, Diosa and I also appeared on a Spotify billboard in Times Square for Hispanic Heritage Month. 2021. And if I do say so myself, we've got some rather humongous things planned for the very, very, very near future. So watch this plucking space. We will be celebrating 5 years of Locatora Radio and the launch of season 6 of Locatora Podcasteras Next Door this Sunday, March 13th at Resident DTLA, 2 to 9 p.m. Get your tickets at residentdtla.com. All-star lineup. Stand-up by Marcela Arguello. Stand-up comedian who is just fucking killing it. Opening for Hassan Minhaj. Has her own podcast, The Scroll Down. Has a TV show. The name of which I am forgetting right now. But we actually interviewed Marcela on Locatora Radio in the past. So, like, check out that interview. She has a show at the Hollywood Improv called Women Crush Wednesday, all women and non-binary lineup. Now just Women Crush. It's on Saturdays, but still at the Hollywood Improv, still women. Check it out. For my 30th birthday, I actually got a group of my friends together and we went to go see Marcella's show at the Hollywood Improv. And then we went to karaoke at the Surly Goat afterwards. And it was a fucking bomb-ass time. It was a vibe. Chris Soul is going to be doing a live set at Locatora Live, a podcast party. Amazing singer-songwriter. Come check her out. We're also going to have DJs, DJ Zuri and DJ Sizzle Fantastic on the ones and the twos. And the show is going to be hosted by Laura Tejeda of LA Taco. So come celebrate with us. Get your tickets at residentdtla.com. Are you a pothead in the market for some new glass? Well, take yourself right on over to Mota Glass and use our super secret stoner savings code MARIHUANERAP4P on your next purchase at mota-glass.com. Mota Glass is Latina and veteran owned. I'm actually going to be interviewing Susie Greens, Susie Plasencia of Mota Glass, founder, CEO, baddest bish. We're going to have her on the podcast. Check that out for season 2. Make sure you stay subscribed. Make sure you're following Susie Greens, Mota Glass, Susie Plasencia, all on Instagram, Twitter. You name it. She's there. Also, get yourself a lippy. Blunt proof, bong proof. These lippies will survive the rotation. Vive Cosmetics, Latina owned, Cali based. Use our discount code LocatoraRadio15 on your next purchase for like, it's like a 15% discount off. Go get some. I wear Vive when I'm out and about, when I'm filming, when I'm recording, going on dates, canceling dates, scheduling more dates. I'm wearing Vive Cosmetics. That's Locatora Radio 15. Right, now back to Utah, which is not a statement I ever thought that I would make, but here we are. I definitely saw a good number of like Latinos, brown folks, which, you know, being in a new place, you kind of like, oh, like who's out here? Who's around, you know? And if you are a marihuanera in Utah, I actually want to know, can you like drop me a voice memo? Again, go to the website, locatoraradio.com. Tell me how you survive in such a strict anti-weed environment. Do not drop any identifying details, but I will say this. Maybe I might have hypothetically, allegedly
smoked a dank hash hole while I was in Utah. Maybe. Maybe I did pack out the tube and roach and bring it out of state and back to California. Allegedly, hypothetically. You'll never catch me, coppers. Extradite me, bitch. No, but in all seriousness, I don't mind a good tolerance break. But hypothetically speaking, if you were a marijuanetta in Utah, how would you survive? There has to be a way, because apparently it's like a misdemeanor if you have like a very small amount, and even like medical cannabis, there are a lot of restrictions on how you can get it, how you can get it prescribed, how you can ingest it, how you can take it, where you can consume it. So very strict, from what I know about Utah, heavily influenced by the Mormons. And please understand that everything I know about Utah is based on seasons 1 and 2 of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which, again, since this is the reunion episode, I'm going to be talking about the Real Housewives reunion parts 1 and 2. Nuts. Let me start here. I watched The Real Housewives while in Utah, and I could like feel the shift in energy. Like the second I crossed the Utah state line, I was like, I can feel the Housewives. Like I can feel the spirit of Jen Shah, of Lisa Barlow, of Meredith Marks, of Heather What's-Her-Face, of Whitney fucking Rose. They're near, you know, it's their habitat, it's their environment. As much as I hate to say it, decolonize land back. Right now, when it comes to Utah, the housewives are like dominating the conversation. Do any of them speak on Native rights? Absolutely not. But they do talk a lot about the Mormon church. So this is what I know. This is what I know. Apparently, very anti-alcohol, anti-weed, anti-sex, anti-partying, cult of perfection at the core, but that they have a lot of latitude for weird shit, per Heather and the divorcee. And which is her main storyline. So we're there, and we go to a liquor store, and I'm like looking for mezcal, and because our group like wanted mezcal, and then I'm like looking for it, and they like didn't have any, which is fine. Side note, Lisa Barlow does own multiple tequila brands. And Vita Tequila, this is not an ad. I did not see Vita Tequila bottles, but I forgot about it in all honesty. And like, I didn't check the shelves in anyways. I digress. So I'm buying whatever tequila, the God. Oh, I have it here. Oh, never mind. I bought some tequila there, and, I'm checking out, and like some big tall white man was like, what's mezcal? Because I was asking about mezcal, and then I was like, well, it's of the agave plant and it's from Mexico, da da da. And he looked at me like I was from outer space. Like he was like, and then they were like, yeah, that seems like a little too intense for Utah. So anyways, like alcohol is like not flowing in abundance necessarily, but also everywhere that we went that we would have expected to have alcohol, there was alcohol. And then we went to this one place, where I guess the info was saying that it was like the first brewery in Utah, and they had like had to like petition for it like in the 80s and whatnot. And like the pours were super uneven, and we like noticed right away. So like, okay, they don't have the same culture around like your beer pours like looking a certain way, and there being a right way to pour a beer and a wrong way, and like people can like be known for their pours. Because we ordered like 3 beers, and like they were all filled to different levels and had different amounts of foam, and it was just chaos. And we like all noticed at the same time and like locked eyes. There were like 4 of us. It was like kind of hilarious. And then we were like, oh my God, we are such pretentious LA snobs because we spend like all of our free time in breweries. But I digress. So we're watching The Real Housewives. And I'm introducing this show to like my friends who are there that were like Airbnb-ing like in Utah so that we can see the USS Half Marathon in Zion at the National Park. And like during our downtime, I'm having them watch Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, because I'm like, while we're here, this is the most famous thing about Utah on TV. So we're gonna watch this. Like, this is history. Jen Shah like was just arrested this season. She's been indicted. The trial is coming up in March. Like, we're in the state. Like, we have to watch. Like, Also, this cast is considered like the most diverse like Housewives franchise cast in the history of Housewives. We have Jen Shah, who's like Tongan Polynesian. She has a mixed heritage, but she's very much an AAPI Pacific Islander woman. We have Mary Cosby, who is Black American, also who is married to her step-grandfather. Jen is being indicted for fraud. Meredith Marks is of Jewish heritage and from Chicago, and she also is known or is believed to wear a chest plate when she's on TV, and I believe the same. Her husband is also a bastard, sorry. And then we have Whitney Rose, who had like an illicit affair with like a man that she worked with who's like, what, 16 years older than her, which is cool. Age gap whatevs, we're down. I saw Extreme Cougar Wives, like also a very good show about like extreme age gap relationships. So anyways, back to Whitney Rose. So she and her husband like were like in an illicit affair, and then like they were both married at the time. So then they left each other's spouses. She got married to this guy that she had an affair with, Justin Rose. And when she got married, she was wearing her prom dress and she was like 6 months pregnant, and they both got disowned by the Mormon church or excommunicated. And she was Mormon royalty because her like great, great granduncle was like the prophet's henchman or something. So anyways, like just drama, 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 drama. They all have their drama. So I'm like, this, we have to watch. We're in Utah. Like, we have to watch. And let me just say that Lisa Barlow got her ass kicked. Lisa Barlow is the one with the tequila brand. She got her ass kicked. She ended up being, like, the villain this season. And it was, like, boiling up to that. But also, like, they were all giving it to each other. I mean, Jen Shah, I think, was really getting all the heat during the season one reunion, and she's kind of becoming a little bit more of a sympathetic villain this season, which is interesting to see. Mary Cosby did not show up, and people were really going in on Mary Cosby. I mean, it was very bad, very vicious. Like, an ex-member of her church, Cameron, died of a brain tumor, and so they all had text messages from Cameron that they were reading on air, describing his relationship with Mary Cosby and like some alleged bad acts. It was just all very tumultuous and like wild, and Andy Cohen was like doing his best to navigate very choppy waters with these ladies and their various horrifying storylines. But it all made for like really excellent and chaotic reality TV watching. There's also a really good article out in the LA Times. The Housewives may seem like, I don't know, whatever people think about the franchise and whatever people think about the shows, who fucking cares? There, of course, always are detractors and people who it's not going to be their thing or they just haven't seen it. There's going to be haters, but there's no doubting the place that the Housewives and the various franchises and storylines and personalities have had on reality TV and entertainment and, you know, pop culture. There's, you've got New York, you've got Orange County, you've got Beverly Hills, you've got Atlanta. I mean, NeNe Leakes alone, like, come on, you know, Potomac, Salt Lake City, and some of these, like, I just started watching Orange County from season one, and there's, like, some of these housewives have just been on the air for years and years and years and years and years and just seasons on seasons and seasons, and just hours of these people. And it's fascinating. And so there is this article in the LA Times by Meredith Blake, staff writer. The Real Housewives integrated its casts, then racism allegations ignited a crisis. So season two of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is written about in this article and included. And that's because there was a lot of race-based conversations on this season of Housewives. So the other member of Housewives that I did not mention in my earlier roundup in discussing the cast is a newer housewife, Jenny Nguyen, who was born in Vietnam and grew up in Long Beach. She started on Housewives of Salt Lake City season 2 is a friend of Lisa Barlow's. And she was fired, essentially let go, from The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City after a series of racist, anti-black posts, memes, captions that she posted on her Instagram. They were seen, they were made public again, resurfaced, revisited, and she was let go. Apparently, Mary Cosby is also not coming back for season 3, and Mary Cosby season 2 upset Jenny when she made comments on camera in multiple scenes that were Orientalist and anti-Asian in nature about Jenny's appearance and her features and mocking her accent. So you also have Jen Shah, who again is Pacific Islander, and has gotten into some kind of like racially sort of based conflicts with like Mary Cosby because of Mary Cosby making statements about like, oh, if I go to a 7-Eleven and I see a group of black people in front of it, I go to a different 7-Eleven. Again, Mary Cosby is African American, and making those types of statements. And then Jen Shah, who is Pacific Islander but is married to a black man and her children are half black, half Pacific Islander, gets upset and then kind of makes a lot of statements to Mary about how Mary needs to remember that she's black. And so there's, even though it's the most diverse Housewives cast out of all these different franchises from coast to coast, there's a lot of these internal like ethnic and racial conflicts between the different women of color. And then you then have the white women in the casts, like, either not standing up and not saying anything, or, like, saying the wrong thing and sometimes downplaying the severity of what's going on. Like, Meredith Marks was basically at one point downplaying anti-Asian comments made, but then... you know, Mary Cosby or Jen will sometimes point out that they feel that they get held to higher standards by the white cast members on certain issues, and, you know, unfairly so, having experiences being ostracized or being misunderstood, having grown up in a predominantly white place like Utah. So there's just all these things, and definitely it bubbles up in the drama, so it can come off as really petty and whatever, like, you know, people think of the Housewives. But I mean, it's fascinating to watch. It's being broadcast and millions of people are tuning in. They are capturing the attention of a certain segment of the population for years, and I'm included. I'm sucked in. And like, ask me about one of them and their storylines and I can conjure up, you know, a season's worth of details. But ask me what I ate for lunch yesterday and I'm gonna have a really hard time remembering. So I don't know what that says. I need to unplug, I need to take a break, I need to take a tolerance break, I need to take a housewives break. But it's what I have to share today. It's what I have to offer. So I do want to point out that in this Housewives diversity article, I just skimmed it, so if I read this wrong, just ignore me. But I don't think that they mentioned Joanna De La Rosa, who is in season 1, like starting from episode 1 of Real Housewives of Orange County. She's Peruana, young, like 24, dating a much older man named Slade who has like kids. And she's like a UC Irvine student and wants to get a job and wants to work. But Slade, her like older white fiance, who gets her a canary yellow diamond engagement ring and moves her into his house, he doesn't want her to get a job. He doesn't want her. Her whole storyline is how she's stuck at home and how he doesn't want her going anywhere, and how she still wants to party, still wants to be out with her friends, still wants to drink, loves a cocktail, wants to have a career, wants to have a job, wants to socialize, wants to be out and about, isn't ready to be a mother to his children yet. And There's like one scene where he like very disparagingly, like condescendingly, like pats her on her head and he's like, oh, it's okay, she doesn't know any better, she's from Peru. Yeah, Joanna De La Rosa, she is on Instagram. I haven't like fully looked into what she's up to or how she spends her time or what her deal is or what she's doing, but I just want to say that I don't think she was mentioned in the article because they do talk about like Garcelle, you know, Nini, Phaedra, Candy, the Black, Asian, women of color throughout the various Housewives franchises, but I did not see mention of Joanna De La Rosa. There are not that many Latina housewives, to my knowledge, and I think she may be one of the first women of color in Housewives history. So just throwing that out there, somebody do the research, because I'm a little too lazy right now and we need to move on to other things. Like maybe in the spirit of Slade, you want to support me, you want to pay my bills, but you just want to like microdose being my sugar daddy, you can hit the Patreon and become a marijuanera patron. At $10 a month, you get bonus episodes, you get episodes early, you get extended content, you get video content, you get Marijuanera, a web series about weed. We have episodes, we have previews, we have behind the scenes content, we have photos, we have stuff that the masses are just not getting. Not now, and some of it not ever, or at least not right now. This is the type of stuff that we make and we put behind the paywall until and if we feel like we're ready to share it publicly. So hit the Patreon. Also, smoke sessions. I haven't done one in a couple months, but they are coming up. They're going to be fun. We have some stuff planned for in-person as well as on Zoom. For those of you who are not trying to be out and about live, but we are resuming our smoke sessions and our patrons are going to have some insider goodies. So check that out. We're behind the Locatora Productions Patreon. Utah. Also watch the Love is Blind reunion. Let's talk about Shake. Everyone on that stage hated Shake, anti-Shake, had beef with Shake. The men, the hosts, the women, probably the crew. Probably the caterers. Everyone had an issue with Shake. I had issues with Shake. Shake has issues with Shake. Shake's mom has issues with Shake. And I just want to say this. Shake is the type of reality TV villain that people love and that people love to hate. Is going to get a podcast, put on his story that he's been offered a podcast. Bet you it's Spotify. Or anyone. There's all the networks are probably offering Shake podcasts. And I think he's going to get his own reality TV show. You know, Shake and Bake, Shake It Love, Shake the Table. You name it. He's going to get his spinoffs. And I think that he's going to be very popular and he's going to go very far. A, because he is a veterinarian and I bet they're going to give some type of like vet dating Shake show. And he was posting to his story and he's like at brunch or wherever he's at with like a table full of blonde white women. And his whole storyline all season was about how like he's only been with white women, only been with white women, prioritizes looks, super into looks, even though like if you were to rate him, he's not a 10 on a scale from 1 to 10 looks wise. Like people are not rating him, I think, the way that he's rating women that he, you know, allegedly finds attractive or whatever. And I think that, like, he's appealing to symbolically, like, his story, I think, for me, and being surrounded by a table full of blonde white girls, like, after, like, downplaying Deep D's, like, looks and sexuality and his attraction to her all season and kind of, like, de-sexing her and, like, talking about her like she's an auntie. Like, he's kind of, like, juxtaposing, like, white girls up against Deep T all season
and like being really fucked up about it and like talking about her behind her back and like basically emphasizing that like he's never been with an Indian girl before and like he's looks first and she doesn't necessarily and she's gorgeous and he keeps talking about this animalistic like attraction or whatever and it's like no bro, like why are you talking about animals? Like, we're a human. You more than anyone as a veterinarian need to understand, like, that humans are different than animals. Like, the fact that you don't, like, immediately, like, make that distinction is very concerning to me with the amount of time that he's, like, spending with animals. Like, and you're not seeing, like, immediately the difference between animals and humans, especially when it comes to interpersonal relationships. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? It's infuriating. It's weird. It's confusing. His own mother is like identifying with Deep T. And everyone on that stage was Team Deeps. But then he goes and like immediately after like treating her this way and kind of like downplaying like her attractiveness because she is a very gorgeous woman. And he's like really downplaying that very intentionally over and over again. And I thought it was very strategically done. He set himself up for this like embarrassment and this failure. And then he goes and he's posting with like all these white girls. You know what I mean? Because I think that that is the fan base that like loves that shit and loves that display and feels sort of like emboldened and empowered. And I think it makes them feel good about themselves. And so he's the type of guy that they're going to like kind of like support and flock to. I think that's going to be, and then like dude bros and then like men of color who like are also asshats. So like a lot of people are going to be like really down for all of his shenanigans and bullshit. And he's going to get paid very well. I'm not saying he should. I'm not saying I endorse it. I'm not saying I like it. I'm just following patterns here. You know, Tekashi 6ix9ine had a huge fucking audience. You know, Jenny 6ix9ine has a huge fucking audience. Like it or not, people like appeal to the likes and the tastes of millions, even if they're not our tastes and our likes. It just is. It happens, you know. Such as influence. And so I think that that is the subset of the population that Shake is going to be appealing to. What I did love was Deep T holding her own. She reminds everybody that she is super ultra aware of her own worth and sex appeal. And she didn't need Shake's I do, like to assert that she's hot and valuable and amazing and everything and effervescent and just above this circus, you know, and the circus that he created of around their wedding and their engagement and all that good stuff. What I also love is that the entire cast is on her side without question. There was no back and forth. There was no if and or but. If there was no if and or but about it, like every single person on that stage at the reunion, had no country for Shake. The very first thing he said, all the way to the very last thing he said, it was all eye rolls. It was all deep sighs. It was all shut up, Shake, from the entire cast. And I'm okay with that. And everybody else seemed to be okay with it too, including the host who got kind of brolic with Shake. And I did appreciate that. The other thing I wanted to say about Deep D is she did post to her IG story with a photo of her and Sal. And then Sal during the reunion actually said he wished he had focused on Deep D during the taping of the show and like proposed to her instead. That was a wild moment. And then we had Kyle posting a video to his story with him and Deep D in the background. And I've seen like people on Twitter have said that folks have confirmed that Kyle and Deep D are together now. Kyle got a nose ring, a bad bitch piercing for the reunion. So yeah, it was just, I want to know what happened between, Mallory and Salvador. Malvador, Salary. I think Salvador is sitting on information and is being a gentleman because I think maybe Mallory did something embarrassing with maybe Jarrett or somebody else and fucked it up. I think that she was never really into
Salvador. I think there was a lot of people being, quote, too nice and not saying how they really felt and saying yes to engagements and going along with these engagements and meetings of the family and weddings without really wanting to, but just saving face and just seeing the show all the way to the end, you know, to the final episode. And getting paid for a full season, bitch, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, if you're getting cast on the show, then be on the show. So that's how I felt with most of them. Like, we're going to be on the show. We're going to be on the show. And they were. And they were. Storylines all up until the reunion. So if you're going to do it, do it. So they're just not telling us everything. But there's more. I'm sure we'll find out in due time. Twins Tell All, Parts 1 and 2, as well as the 90 Day Fiancé. And 90 Day Fiancé, The Single Life, and 90 Day Fiancé, The Other Way, and all Family Chantal and all the others. But I'm exhausted, and I have cotton mouth because I'm a fucking pothead and I've been smoking this whole time. So what I'm going to do instead is jump into my Patreon Marihuaneta tier shoutouts. That's one of the perks of being a patron. You get your name read on air on episodes of Marihuaneta, a podcast for potheads. So let it be known, these are the folks that are basically sustaining our production house on a monthly basis, and we always rely on our Patreon contributions to pay our audio engineers and those pesky subscription fees for all the accounts and software and platforms and pros and upgrades and storage upgrades, you know, that are essential to keeping a podcast and multiple podcasts going. So thank you guys. Here are the names. Marihuaneta and Locamores Anonymous tier patrons, help us get to 60 before season 2 launches, which will be in a couple months. Pasia, Sonja, Brianna, Maria Cacahuates, Maria Elena Cepeda, Kaylee Lennon, Kyra Villegas, Laura Muma, Rocio, Mark, Sol, Roberto Rivera, John Lopez, Sofia, Alejandra, Nicole, Barbara, Remedios y Soledad de Mucha Flores, Chelly of Chicali Products. Check them out. Use affiliate code MALA for free shipping from Chicali Products, Latina-owned CBD company. Jocelyn, Susana, AC, Athena, Erica, Eric, Mariah, Serena, Yessi, Ichel, Nina, Victoria, Joandra, Kiki, Gerardo, Celine, Ollie, Erica, Lisa, Christian, Madison, Magdalena, Cristina, Edna, Rosalina, Sirenia, Carla, Dan, Ajopi, and Cristina. Thank you guys. Appreciate you. This has been a Locatora production. Jingle, lyrics by me, music, vocals, arrangement by Crisol. Brown Boys are the band. Marihuaneta logo by Micah Amaro. Past episodes of Marihuaneta edited by Stephanie Franco. This episode edited by me, actually. Fun fact. Created, written, hosted by Mala Munoz. Till next time.